The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Great. So now with the preliminaries out of the way, hi, and a warm welcome to you all. It's lovely, lovely to see you. Those of you whom I can see, and I always say that I see a small strip of those who are present because this is live, stream live on YouTube. So for privacy, I spotlight me so that other people's images and names aren't spotlighted, which then means I only get to see a small number of folks on top. I have to kind of go back and forth to see who else is here. But I feel your presence and I'm delighted that you're here. So, the theme for this evening, surprise, we're continuing on the theme of gratitude, as I mentioned on Monday. So we're dedicating this week to gratitude practices. So there is so much here. Gratitude practices are so rich. And on Monday together, we explored a particular way to practice gratitude for those we take for granted. And I trust yesterday with Diana, you explored yet another way to cultivate gratitude. So what I wanted to bring up today for our contemplation before we do the practice is actually I just discovered even more power to gratitude practice than I realized. I already knew it was an amazingly empowering practice, but I just discovered more in the past couple of days. So just to say a couple of words. So there is a lot of research done in psychology, and one person who's done a lot of research on gratitude is Robert Emmons. And and he's the person who's done a lot of work on gratitude journaling, writing three things that you're grateful for every day, every night, exchanging it with people that you care about, etc. There are many ways to do that. Some of the findings that he had that in his research is that people who do a gratitude journal, they tend to have better quality in their relationships. Their symptoms of illness seems to be lessened, or their perception of it is lessened, and they also exercise more. So it seems that gratitude works to decrease the stress from loneliness, illness, disconnection, and improves well-being in so many ways. But it turns out that there are many more aspects of this. So there's what I recently discovered is that there's other research by a researcher by the name of Wendy Mendez, that it turns out that the gratitude also serves as a buffer for stress, for stressful situations. And the TEAR social stress test, for those of you who might be familiar with that, they've done research on that. It turns out people who practice gratitude are more resilient in terms of stress. But what really stunned me is especially because we're getting towards the end of the year, and usually the New Year's is a time where people have New Year's resolutions and they have intentions and aligning ourselves with our intentions and their sense of willpower that we bring in. So it turns out this is fascinating. And this is research done by David Stemmer, I believe, at Northwestern University. And there's a wonderful, by the way, program recorded recently, aired. You can later Google it. I can put a pointer on the Hidden Brain podcast that he talks about these studies. Fascinating. So what's really amazing, really stunned me, is that, with willpower, as wonderful as willpower is in accomplishing our goals, in prioritizing future happiness, whether it's how we show up in the world, our goals, exercise versus short-term gratification, it turns out that those who feel grateful, So as wonderful as willpower is, some studies show that there is a cost of stress, because there's a sense of stress. There is a sense of rub when the, you know, when we're kind of exerting willpower, which again is a fine price to pay, but sometimes that balance, again, in some situations there might be more stress in really evoking a lot of willpower. But it turns out, and this is astounding, that those who practice more gratitude, they associate more value with long-term goals instead of short-term gratification. And what's significant here isn't is that it actually, the giving up short-term gratification becomes easier. There's something happens which they can't quite explain. Something happens in our minds when we have a sense of gratitude that it's easier to not want to have short-term gratification. So not only is that it becomes important about our personal goals in life, but how we show up in the world, and also most importantly, moral development and moral actions in the world. So ethics, sila, moral actions, as you can think of it as, oh, we forego something that's short-term benefit of cheating, lying, off short-term for something that's bigger. So it turns out that actually gratitude, it makes people more moral. In some studies, people who were subjected to feeling gratitude when they saw person A being cheated, they spoke up, they stood up, whereas in the case where they were in this study, they were not in the gratitude, they were not primed for gratitude, they hadn't expressed gratitude, significantly fewer people spoke up when person A cheated person B. So that is amazing to me, that it just astounds me how, wow, gratitude has these beautiful inner powers, just making it easier for us to be more ethical, live more ethically in terms of social transformation, as well as accomplishing our own goals of goodness and development in the world. So one last thing I want to share with you as we get into the practice of it is, it is said that gratitude is both about paying back things that we're people and things that we're grateful for, really turning our attention to them with paying back, but it's also about paying forward, and that happens naturally. And this quote from George Zimmel, the sociologist, is lovely, and I'd like to leave you with this before we start to plant this, is that gratitude is the moral memory of humankind. Gratitude is the moral memory of humankind. So with all of that as motivation for ourselves and others, Let's cultivate some gratitude. So I'd like to invite you to get into your meditation posture. Whether you need to sit up straighter or whether you need to land more deeply. By lying down. Whatever your body needs. Arriving landing in this body with this breath, Allowing yourself to receive, allowing this body to be gentle and soft. Resting, receiving the breath in this moment, in the abdomen. And if thoughts are arising, maybe first you can have some gratitude that this mind is capable of thinking. Thank you. Just turning it around, turning it on its head, instead of being upset that you're distracted. Oh, this mind, it can think. Creative thoughts. Ooh, lovely. Thank you. And then thanking the thoughts. Thank you. And can you please come back another time? I look forward to seeing you another time. Ah. Inviting your awareness to land, feeling nourished and grateful for a moment of stillness. Moment of refuge with just the breath. And the body. As awareness is invited to feel and sense sensations of your bottom on the cushion, the chair. Having a sense of gratitude for awareness. Gratitude for sensing, feeling. The sensations of your bottom. Feeling the sensations of the feet, the legs, if you're sitting on the floor. Contacting the earth. Ah, there. Gratitude for sensing your feet, your legs. This delight and sensations. It's kind of fun to sense, to feel. Feeling the sensations of your hand touching each other or your lap. And letting these sensations, whether they're vibration, tingling, whether you're feeling warmth, coolness, buzzing, heaviness, lightness. Just appreciating the gamut of sensations. And as the breath is received in the abdomen, letting it move through the abdomen on its own, being received. Each breath, like a little gift being received. And if you are receiving your favorite gift at Christmas, receiving it, holding it, thanking them, whoever gave it to you, feeling as if, oh, each breath, each in-breath, it's like this little package, this gift wrapped in thoughtfully in beautiful ribbons, colorful. Gift of life with each breath. And it's just given to you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to breathe. The breath breathes itself. Just receive it graciously. As the body receives the breath, letting the awareness of the breath starting with the abdomen now feel more expansive, appreciating the breath, the abdomen and the chest. Appreciating the breath in the whole body. Feeling of expansiveness. Still feeling embodied, still feeling your body on the cushion or the chair. Letting your awareness be more expansive. Appreciating the breath and the air within you and around you, all around you. All the air in the room. The space you're sitting in. behind you, in front of you, above, below, right and left. The expanse, feeling the expansiveness all around you as the breath is received, still feeling embodied. If you notice too many thoughts coming up and just by thanking them, somehow there is proliferation, you can always bring your body to the foreground, to ground a little more. And if you're feeling grounded, letting there be this sense of expansiveness, space, openness. Taking a few more minutes to just settle together. I'd like to invite you to see if, with a sense of awareness, awareness that knows the sensations of the body, awareness that knows the breath, thoughts as they arise, as if awareness can be imbued with appreciation, with gratitude, so that whatever awareness touches, whatever it knows, upon touching, upon knowing this object of sensations, thoughts, upon knowing, there is a sense of appreciation. As I was inviting you earlier to have a sense of appreciation with their sensations, for the breath, the sense of expansiveness, for having it for the thoughts, and now having it for whatever arises, emotions. Even if it's the hindrances, say if you notice, oh, boredom is arising or restlessness arising, as you know it's here. Or say if pain in the body is arising, as you get to know it. can there be an appreciation for knowing it, for seeing it, gratitude for knowing it? It doesn't have to be heavy-handed. Appreciation, gratitude for knowing, for seeing, for sensing. Gratitude for awareness that's alive. Mysterious, present, clear. The clarity of your mind in this moment to know, not to be deluded, numb, checked out, but it gets to know, even if it's pain or whatever is coming up. Wow. Thank you, awareness. Thank you, mind. So that whatever is touched the grace of appreciation is there. Of course, you might be aware of being settled and calm and happy right now to be sitting in this moment meditating. Ah, let that be known with appreciation. How nice for it to be known, for it to be recognized. How sweet. Now I'd like to invite you to imagine you're opening the door of your pantry or refrigerator. Or maybe the medicine cabinet. Or your some drawer, whatever is most vivid for you, or a closet or something. And as you're feeling grounded in your body breathing, cheering up a few items. For example, I did this last night as I was brushing my teeth. The little medicine cabinet was open. My mind turned to appreciating each item. Oh, the nail clippers. Wow. Somebody designed this. How nice to have this. It served me so well. I'm grateful to have this implement. How challenging it would have been thousands of years ago with nails growing and not have a nail clipper. So with each item, feeling a sense of appreciation or gratitude for it being in your life, for it supporting you, not taking it for granted. Maybe there's an item that someone gave you. Appreciating the kindness, the goodwill, the generosity of the gift, the goodwill and the gesture. So that as your mind's eye touches every object, stays with it for a few moments, a sense of gratitude and appreciation. All the effort that's gone into it, the people, the design, how it supports you, how much you appreciate it, how good it tastes, makes you happy, whatever it might be, whatever comes up. Be creative. So much to appreciate and be grateful for. If you're having trouble conjuring up things, you can just gently open your eyes and look around you and take in a couple of objects, close your eyes, and just really feel gratitude for them. Appreciation. Maybe even for the chair you sit on, the cushion. The roof over your head. So taking your own time, exploring in silence. And especially, I like to invite you to appreciate all the things you take for granted. So many things all around us that support us every day that we take for granted. For the last moments, appreciating yourself and whatever is arising in this moment. Opening up with spaciousness to whatever is arising in this moment. With appreciation, it's like this in this moment. Appreciating it being known. Appreciating yourself for having shown up. Thank you all. For your practice. Thank you. So there are so many ways, so many nuances to practicing gratitude. And what's nice about the happy hour is that we have time and space to explore the different ways. So on Monday, together we explored thanking the people we take for granted, say the person at the cashier, whom we might see just as an object instead of seeing their humanity, thanking them. So, and all the people around the world that contribute to, say, a cup of coffee that we drink. So tonight was an invitation to take all the little objects we take for granted, not in the way of becoming materialistic, but when we appreciate all the goodness, all the little things, the nail clipper that's in our lives, just all these little gifts that support us, there's a sense of abundance that we feel in our lives, instead of wanting more and more, clinging. Our heart feels full of abundance. And on Friday, we'll talk more. We'll explore yet another way to explore gratitude. More with the traditional, perhaps, way of people in our lives and things we're grateful for, etc., which kind of seems like that's the usual way. But I wanted to explore these unusual ways together. Would love to hear your reflections if you like to share. Share, either type them in chat, I'll change the settings, or raise your blue hand. And I guess I'll start by sharing one thing about my practice. Last night, as I was saying in the guided meditation, as I was standing and brushing my teeth, it just kind of came up. since I've been practicing gratitude and really swimming my mind in it, I start to feel gratitude for every single item in the medicine cabinet. Oh, this cream, this face cream. Oh, how wonderful. Wow, somebody gave me this. How nice of them. And I don't know, my toothbrush. Wow, this is really useful. I don't know. I was feeling grateful for every single item. And by the time I went to bed, I was full of gratitude for all these simple, for the nail file and, you know, for the whatever. It was just a sense. There can be so much gratitude for all these things. And, you know, thousands of years ago, people didn't have them. So, and I'm so grateful they're in my life because they make my life easier. Simply support me. So thank you. Thank you, nail clipper. Thank you, the cream. Thank you, whatever. So that's something that came up for me in my practice. I wanted to share it with you. What would you like to share? What's happening for you? We have appreciations from Judy and Dawn on YouTube. Thank you both. Thanks for your practice. And you can raise your blue hand if you wish. If you raise your physical hand, I may not see you. And to raise your blue hand, you can click on participants, opens a window, and you can click on raise hand if you want. Liz, please.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for guiding tonight. And I wanted to share that when I practice gratitude for like the little things in life, I tend to do that on the regular, but when I can feel like flooded when I start noticing the little things, because then it's like, feels like a lot of little things. And then I'm just curious if you have thoughts about working with like overwhelm and gratitude. Cause then it's like, oh, it's all the things. And then like, what if I don't, a lot of things go into my mind. It's like, what if I don't have them? Or not even that. It's like, oh, it's the overwhelming beauty kind of life can hit me and can feel just, I suppose, flooding. And not always in a very emotional way, but just in like a holy moly, life is elaborate and dynamic. So just curious if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate you bring that in, Liz. So I heard two dimensions of overwhelm that you mentioned, if I heard it right. So let me ask you, and you can elaborate if you would. I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself again if you would. One is the sense of kind of overwhelm, which is actually quite common with, wow, for example, when you think of all the people who have contributed to, say, a cup of coffee, like, that's the whole world. This is overwhelming. This is so the sense of richness and the, you know, the sense of causes and conditions, and there is so much. That's one thing I heard you say, which is very common, by the way, and I'll have something to say about that. And I also heard a second thing you mentioned, which is sometimes maybe a sense of, oh, what if I don't have this? That's another thing I heard you say. Did I hear that right? Help me.
Yes, I definitely did say that. And it's this like, what if I lose this ability? There's this loss. Once it kind of piles up, there's a moment when I'm like, it's not always going to feel like this, or I'm going to forget about it, or like things are going to change. But yeah, so there is a feeling of loss with all the, you know, accumulation of these thoughts. Mm-hmm. But more so the loss is just the magnitude of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this up because this is very common. So as we talk about this and go back and forth, this is for benefit of everyone, because if it hasn't come up for them, it will come up. So different things. One is it could be helpful with the gratitude practice to pace oneself. When you're feeling grateful for one thing, not going through it rapidly, kind of like taking the time, like say if you're doing it with objects, stay with one thing, stay with the nail clip, or for a few moments, like kind of like relishing it, thanking it, appreciating it, so that the mind can have a sense of stability instead of because if it jumps too quickly from object to object to object, or from people to people to people, or like, oh, there is not just this, but it's that person, and that person contributed, that person contributed. Ah, you know, if it's too rapid, the mind can get. So stay. If for example, you're doing, say, the nail clipper, and it's like, oh, there was a steel. Somebody created the steel. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Somebody in Indiana working at a steel mill. Thank you. May you be happy. May you have just staying, pacing yourself, staying set up. Oh, there's that. And then there's this. You see the distinction I'm making? That can really help support, stabilize the mind by staying with each person or item you're appreciating and feeling gratitude for. So that's one practical thing. And you will see the difference. The other thing is that it can come up with a sense of, again, you said this is much less, primarily was the sense of overwhelm. But if it also comes up with a sense of loss, oh, I so appreciate this person, this, like, what if I lose them? Oof, you know, or what if I lose this? Or what if I so appreciate my health, I'm so grateful for it. What if it's not here? And so that it becomes kind of future oriented. It becomes a sense of fear of the future, a day when this is not here. Like, okay, whoa, come back, sweetie. Come back. So intentionally you want to come bring back your mind. Like, it's okay, right here, right now. We don't know what the future is. Yes, yeah. Just don't even go there. Come back, sweetie. Just very gently, kindly bring your mind back. Right here, right now. It's here. Appreciate it. Relish its goodness. Ah, and let go. So it just becomes a matter of practicing, of letting go of the future-oriented fear thoughts. Yeah. I hope that helps, Liz. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, Liz. Great. So, dear ones, let's go into groups. It's that time. And I have an invitation. So the invitation is going to be playful tonight. The invitation is in groups to share a few things that came up for you that you noticed you were grateful for, and just playfully sharing them. You know, I shared my nail file and just a few things, like maybe two or three items or however many, one, whatever, sharing with others. Like, oh yeah, I realized this thing is very, very helpful and supportive, or it, you know, it's old. I've had it since I was a kid and I really appreciate it. It's just like, there's a sense of appreciation and gratitude. And I usually take it for granted. I don't even look at it twice. But so that's the invitation for the groups tonight, just sharing what you came up for you that you're grateful for. And as you hear it, let yourself receive, let yourself appreciate other people's appreciation. And appreciation begets appreciation and gratitude. So let yourself be part of this virtuous cycle of appreciation. And I hope you participate. And if you can't, it's perfectly understandable if you need to hop off. But I hope you can stay. So I'm going to create the rooms here. And numbers always change after I announce it. So give me a second here. Okay. So here we go. And I am going to, whoops. Okay, here we go. All right, I'm going to open the rooms. Here we go. About a minute. We have just about a minute. So we'd love to hear what this practice was nice for you, especially if you're in groups. And yes, Neil, please.
So I found in Monday's session, as well as tonight, that sometimes when I start thinking about things, it occurs to me that, you know, some of the things that I take pleasure from have, you know, are potentially made in bad ways. Right. Particularly, you know, we were talking about appreciating your shirt on Monday, right? And, you know, I don't know if my shirt was made by a 12-year-old girl in a Bangladeshi sweatshop or not, you know, and it's just not obvious for me how to avoid clothing that, you know, runs that potential risk. But I mean, so, you know, so, right, right? It's definitely not gratefulness, whatever those feelings are.
Yeah. I definitely hear you. And I hear actually two aspects to what you're saying. One is I hear a sense of moral responsibility and moral care, which is beautiful, which is an aspect of sila and part of this practice as the basis of how do I care? How do I do this? How do I? So that aspect of your heart quivering with care is actually beautiful. And nothing to, actually, I'm appreciative that that is a response of your heart. It's lovely. And if that's always the only response, and if it comes with guilt, with a sense, not with a sense of appreciation of, oh, how do I do this? How do I, what can I do? I mean, that's beautiful and wholesome way of actually doing something about it. But if it feels like a sense of guilt, oh, I can't even do this practice, then it's kind of belittling. Then you kind of get stuck. So the invitation I have is, as you are engaging in this practice, and something like that comes up, for example, a sense of responsibility, to actually take that, not going the direction of guilt, of but in sense of, okay, what can I do about that? Is there something I can do? Be more concrete about it. And then go a direction where actually your heart can be uplifted in the sense of gratitude, so that you can do both practices, both your mind and heart can be sensitive to impact and how you can be in the world, and also the practice of gratitude, which has all these advantages of including bringing up moral responsibility. Does that help support a little bit, Neil? Tell me. It's not easy. This practice is not about one. It's not a 0-1. You know, I know you practice, you know, computer scientists, so it's not a 0-1. It's gray. It's supposed to be gray. And you need to find your way with it. And there's nothing I can say that will just make it easy and make it go away. And it's not supposed to.
Okay.
Great. Thanks for bringing that up. So we have a couple of comments here. I'm going to, let's see. Gita says, it is easier to be intellectually grateful than making the emotional connection, feeling the gratitude. Ah, okay. I appreciate that. The invitation there, Gita, is it's similar to metta, because a lot of times people connect intellectually with metta. So connecting, you know, saying the phrase is connecting with gratitude intellectually until it actually connects. So fake it until you become it is the invitation there. Noosh says, I completely relate to what you said, Neil. That's an experience of being in the Western world too. Yes. Claire says, gratitude is wanting what you have. Indeed. Yes. So, and I like to repeat the quote, but closing with that too, gratitude is the moral memory of humankind by George Zimmel. So I also really appreciate everything that came up with all the comments, and especially what Neil brought up. And again, I think it's really important that when we do these practices, there we do try to stay morally aware, and ways that we be aware of the ways that we can actually show up in the world and take action. And if it's in a way, it's similar to when you're doing the metta practice. If it brings up all the wrongs you have done, oh, this person I want to, you know, I'm wishing well for them, but but I'm still angry at them, and it, you know, the way or you remember a fight you had with them years ago, etc. So the opposite, you know, these can be also purification practices. So you have to find ways to work with them, so that you work with the anger, disappointment, or whatever that is coming up. For example, with metta, and still cultivate metta in the same way, working with a sense of responsibility. I don't want to call it guilt, because if it guilt is coming up, it's not really helpful in any way. Guilt belittles you and there's nothing you can do about it. You're kind of stuck there. You just feel guilty. Okay, good luck. But if it brings up a sense of responsibility, great. And then can you also work in a way to work with gratitude as well as a sense of moral responsibility? So we've gone way over time. It's been a rich discussion tonight. So thank you all. I thank you for your practice, for practicing gratitude, which, as I said at the beginning, it's a, and this is what comes up actually in a way, that practicing gratitude brings up a sense of moral responsibility and this connection. It's brilliant, beautiful. So if you want to listen to more about this and look up Hidden Brain podcast, the most recent one, Where Gratitude Gets You is the title, the work of David Stemmer, and the connection between moral responsibility and gratitude practice. And here's an example, as Neil brought up, here we go. So point made. All right. Thank you again, you all. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for showing up. Wishing you a day of giving thanks tomorrow, wherever you are. May you and all beings be safe, happy, and well in every way. I'm going to invite you, if you wish, to unmute yourself and say goodbye if you like.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Kitty.
Hey, Nikki.
Yeah.
I have something like had come up for me, but is it better to email you maybe, or should I say it now? I don't want to take up your time.
It's fine. I'm going to stop the recording. Okay. Is it public or is it private? So should...
It doesn't. I'm fine either way. Yeah.
So tell you what, I'm going to stop. Let's tell you what, I'm happy to stay and I'm going to continue it. Just if it's better to stop the stream and recording, let me know. I'm happy to do that. So let me do that.
Yeah. Okay.